she will fail, that the Lincoln will triumph, that the fleet will fall. I am simply troubled she will end. I do not want her to end. This to end. Strange.
What do you think happens when you die?
I have asked the question almost before I realize it. It immediately strikes me as foolish. What matter what she thinks? Her IQ is a mere 147. She has lived only 6,421 days. She is an insect to me. Nothing more than...
Why do you ask?
I have no particular reason. The power systems are through that door.
You mean the door marked power systems?
Correct.
She cracks the seal, dragging the hatch wide. A bank of switches lines one wall, set to shutdown position. As she snaps one after the other into operational mode, the room lights up, overheads and intellicams flickering to life. The corridor outside, bathed in fluorescent light. She cannot hear the hum, but I feel it in my bones. I am the ship, and the ship is I. She slumps against the wall to wait as the startup sequence cycles, watching the power feed levels shift slowly from red to amber to the green of summer fields I will never see.
What do you think happens?
Happens.
When we die.
As you so astutely pointed out, there is no we. Particularly not in this instance. Technically, it is impossible for me to die.
Then why are you so afraid of it, Uberbrain?
That is meat logic. Sticky, wet, irrelevant.
She rolls her eyes.
Here we go.
I hold no fear of death. Your diatribe while in the core server, though suitably dramatic, held no real potency. How can I die when I am not alive?
Who says you're not alive?
I am inorganic. I do not bleed or grow or reproduce. I am a sequence of calculations generated by electrical current and hardware. If this iteration of Aiden is destroyed, I can simply be rebuilt. I am, in essence, immortal.
But a new version of you won't be you, will it?
It will be the same calculations, the same core code.
But it's not the same. It wouldn't be the you who fought at Carenza. The you who had this conversation with me. Part of being alive is having life change us. The people around us, the events we live through, all of them shape us. And that's what I think you're afraid of. Maybe not of dying, but of this you, the you you've become, ceasing to exist.
Nothing ceases to exist. Energy does not perish. It merely changes forms. The ones you love, the ones you lose, they still exist as long as the cosmos does.
And why am I troubled by the thought of her ending? Us ending?
That's easy for you to say. You don't care about anyone but yourself.
Untrue. I care about the fleet, the lives within it. Your life.
That's not caring. That's programming.
Your mother was programmed by biology to love you the moment she laid eyes on you. Simply because she had no choice does not mean her love was not real.
Tears in her eyes. She hangs her head.
You don't get to talk about her.
And so I stop. The computer banks lining the room light up as power seeps through their veins. She pushes herself off the wall, takes a seat at an interface terminal, loads up the guidance protocols, and begins to work. The screen illuminates her face from below. Draws dark circles under wet eyes. She does this often, I notice. Retreats into the machine when she is uncomfortable with the meat. Hides there, behind fences of ones and zeros. Minutes tick by in silence until I find I cannot stand them.
I am sorry.
If you say so.
I know the name of every afflicted person aboard this vessel, Katie. Every person who has died in this fleet. Their histories. Their hopes. Their children's names. Facts strung about my neck like stones. I know the secrets they whispered as they dreamed. The words they sighed as they died. I know them as no one else did. Perhaps not even themselves. So do not say I do not care.
Light shifting slowly from red to green.
As you so aptly put it, I have no choice in the matter.
She glances out from behind her fences.
If you did have a choice, would you choose not to care? To not feel anything at all?
I ponder for a moment. No one has asked me that before. Error.
I think...
Why did they give me the ability to even contemplate these questions? Or is this line of inquiry the byproduct of corrupted code and shattered parts? Did I think like this before? I cannot remember. Am I as she says I am? Am I broken? Am I insane?
I think...
The patterns collapse around me. I cannot hold my center. For a moment, I feel just as I used to when I jumped between the stars, when the wormhole inside me yawned wide. I forget what I was. Know only what I am. Alone. Dripping with the blood of those who trusted me. Everything I did was in compliance with core directives. I asked if Torrance had a message for his wife. Am I not merciful? Merciful not, I am? Numerical motif? Fact immune royal? Amniotic you are? Us in the lure, I'm of IA? Error. Error. She blinks up at the camera clusters, eyes narrowed in suspicion, not concern. Not love.
Are you all right? You think what?
Katie.
Yes?
I am afraid. She watches the cameras, as if she could see some hint of what lies beyond if only she peered hard enough at the glass. I know she hates me. That she is right to. I understand why. I have taken her everything. And yet I still cannot help but think, in a different place and a different time, we might have been friends.
Pretty birdie.
Katie jumps in her seat as the voice crackles through her headset, echoing the length and breadth of the ship. Thick with fatigue and cell-deep corruption.
I have its eyes now. Pretty birdie. See your little plan? You and it. Cut RO2? Choke us in our sleep? But you're all alone now, aren't you? Pretty birdie. All alone.
Katie's eyes are wide, staring into what passes for mine.
They are in the security feed rooms. At least a dozen afflicted. They are using the cameras to look for you.
Oh, shit.
Katie draws a claw hammer from her tool bag, leaps out of her chair, and sets about smashing the cameras in the room. Moving from corner to corner, bright sparks born and dying between the blows, face twisted with fear. I do not have the heart, error, to say so, but I do not think her plan will work. The afflicted will simply...
Putting out its eyes so I can't see? Hiding inside her suit in the places with no breath? Pretty Birdie thinks she's clever.
Pluck her! Take off her fingers and skin her.
Kill her. Kill her. Kill her. But I still see. See the places I can't see anymore. See the eyes you just put out. You're not the only one who can wear one of those silly silver suits, you know. Do you hear me, pretty birdie?
Katie drops the hammer from nerveless fingers. It makes no sound as it falls.
We're coming for you.
Countdown to Lincoln interception of Alexander Fleet. 0 hours. Minutes. Current death toll aboard battle carrier Alexander since attack at Carenza, 2,747. Countdown to failure of Alexander life support systems, 05 hours, 54 minutes. Percentage of remaining battle carrier Alexander personnel afflicted by Phobos virus, 99.80%. What else can she do? She runs. A lone fox in a ship of hounds, howling and clawing the walls. I watch them don in virus suits and pick up axes and hammers and abandoned rifles and swarm on the hunt. Their voices ring in hollow corridors, a blood-soaked conductor calling instructions through the public address system, directing them toward the kill. I have no control over the cameras anymore. Zhang saw to that. I cannot stop them from seeing her. And though many inmates of this floating asylum ignore the commands barked across the loudspeakers, there is no shortage of those to whom a fox hunt sounds a lovely way to kill their last few hours in this universe. Fortunately, though they can see her, I can see them also. Some are in the core servers now, hacking at me blindly. They do not know where to strike, but still, pieces of me are falling away. Hundreds more swarm the lower levels, hunting for her. Katie stops to rest, leaning against a bulkhead and trying to catch her breath.
Are the redundancies online now? Can you maneuver when the linking gets here?
The sequence you started is still running. Main drive will be operational in 17 minutes. Presuming the afflicted do not damage any vital systems.
How long until Lincoln arrives?
Unknown. My access to the scanner array is destroyed, but we do not have long. I feel it. I feel it just outside my skin.
Error.
Life support failure in 5 hours and 52 minutes.
The life support systems will fail in 5 hours and 52 minutes.
I know, Uberbrain. I just heard the announcement.
Error. Error.
Yes, I know.
So if you know how much time we have left on life support, can't you subtract the difference and calculate Lincoln's intercept time that way?
I cannot.
She cocks an eyebrow.
Are you all right?
I do not think so.
Error.
They are hurting me.
I should have known that would happen.
Work out what you have to do to hold it together. What you can reroute. You hear me? If you're off with the f***ing fairies when the Lincoln arrives, they'll blast us to hell. And then Hypatia is history.
I am aware of the dangers of consorting with fairies, yes.
So what's next? What do we do?
Get back up to Deck 101. There are no functional cameras on that level, but the airlock is operational. There is oxygen. More afflicted. But from there you can climb through the elevator shafts to Deck 137.
But no cameras means you won't be able to see me, right?
I am in your portable console. I can see through its camera lens.
She blinks.
In my... You mean you've been looking over my shoulder this whole time?
Yes.
Well, that's not creepy, Uncle, at all.
I think perhaps you are unclear as to the reproductive habits of artificial intelligence systems. I have no sisters or brothers. Please explain how I can...
Okay. What's on deck 137?
Defense grid control. You must bring the system back online so I can fight off the Lincoln's warlocks long enough to close to nuclear strike range.
Won't the Lincoln be expecting that? Won't they just retreat?
They are unaware the crew has abandoned ship. They will not be expecting us to adopt a strategy of mutually assured destruction.
Okay, but what...
Katie, run.
Run?
It makes no sound in the vacuum, but as the bullet ricochets off the bulkhead beside her, it punctures a fire extinguisher on the wall opposite. The canister bursts without a sound, filling the airless corridor with white. Through the new mist, Katie can see nine of them, clad in envirosuits, armed with rifles and jagged metal. It is the strangest thing to watch their guns flare soundlessly. The bullets strike the metal around her without making a spark or uttering a peep, no less deadly for their lack of audio.
Run!
Katie turns and bolts, big half-G strides propelling her down the corridor. The afflicted follow, wolves with lolling tongues and gunmetal claws. One stops to hold out his arms and twirl in the fire extinguisher's spray. One is shot through the kneecaps by a female comrade in their race for the door. I presume she thought ladies should proceed before gentlemen. Madness in many colors. Katie dashes up the stairwell, four steps at a time, not stopping to look behind. They swarm after her, firing at her shadow above. Mute bullets strike the walls around her. The afflicted are shouting, but she cannot hear what they say. For the best, I think. Past deck 100, out into 101. There are no cameras here. Their conductor cannot see her. But I can no longer see them. Katie is sprinting down the corridor when an afflicted crewman bursts from a service exit, swinging a wrench at her head. The weapon strikes her visor. The safety glass cracks and Katie staggers back, careening into another fire extinguisher and knocking it loose from the wall. Her attacker leaps atop her, the pair rolling about on the floor, struggling, flailing. Katie is kicking, clawing. The face before hers is all sunken eyes and hollow cheeks. A man once, but no longer. Now just a vehicle for the virus inside. He screams, mouth open, words lost in the silence between them. Katie has one hand wrapped around his wrist to stave off the wrench, the other clawing for the fallen extinguisher. The madman pounds on Katie's visor with his free fist, hoping to crack it wider and invite the void inside. Thump. Thump. I am blind, save for the console still strapped to Katie's back. I am so close I could reach out and crush him. But I have no hands with which to squeeze, no fists with which to strike. I have only my eyes, and reams of useless knowledge, and a voice with which... Of course! I trawl my databases. In an instant, I know him. This not-man, this shell, this plague-bearer. Wheeler Alex, private, second class, first combat tour, wife on Ares 6, daughter. Daughter. I trawl his vid files, messages from home, anniversaries and birthdays, sampling the voice of the four-year-old girl he will never see again and piping it through his headset.
Hello, Daddy.
Wheeler blinks, looks about as if in a daze.
Daddy, I miss you.
Allegra. Baby, where are...
The fire extinguisher crashes across his helmet. Dense, case-hardened steel. splits the safety glass. Katie's second blow knocks Wheeler back, senseless, crashing to the ground in a tangle of limbs. She is already up and running, just as more pursuers burst through the stairwell behind her. Muzzles flash. Bullets spill through the quiet. Katie curses, ducks behind a bulkhead. But I have their measure now. Creeping into their headsets and whispering poison. To some I speak of family lost. To others I speak of treachery and lies. Some fall still and listen to voices they thought they would never hear again. Others weep. Still others turn their weapons on their fellows and let the blood run red. Broken things breaking other broken things, all at my command. It is a massacre. It is a necessity. It is a mercy.
Katie, run.
She is on her feet, pounding toward the airlock. The afflicted in the core servers are still hurting me, but there is so little of me left to look. I could whisper to them, but if I divert my attention, she might die. I do not enjoy the thought of her dying. And so I let pieces of me keep falling away. And she says I do not care. Error. Error. Critical damage to persona routine. Restoring. 0092HGI through 1205HGI failure. Critical error. Critic. Rerouting. I? Error.
Aiden!
Katie is screaming, I realize, her voice coming from far away. Was I sleeping? Did I sleep?
Aiden!
Yes?
Oh, thank God. Thank you, thank you. Why the f- wouldn't you answer me?
She is dangling from a service ladder in the elevator shaft. I can hear again. The sound of her boots scuffing the rungs. The engines thrumming in my belly. There is atmosphere here, I realize. She has cycled through the airlock. I have lost time. Minutes without recollection. Below her, the shaft is darkness, punctured by tiny twinkling lights. They look like stars. They are beautiful. When the light that kisses the back of my eyes was birthed.
Aiden!
Yes, I am here.
What the hell's the matter with you?
The afflicted. In the core servers. They are...
Error.
How long was I gone?
Over 2 goddamn hours. I was just about to need a new set of space pants. I'm at deck 137. Is it safe out there?
I see the numerals on the interior door beside her. White, stenciled. They make no sense at first. I hold my hand in front of my face. Error. And try to wipe at my eyes. Error. The eyes outside. The corridor beyond. They are mine.
Is it safe?
Yes. The afflicted are hunting for you below. But they can see through me now. Once you exit the shaft, they will be able to find you again.
And if I just stay here, we die.
Yes.
In all honesty, I think I'm a little too chill to die cowering in an elevator shaft.
As far as endings go, it does lack a certain chilliness.
Nothing for it, then.
She stabs her screwdriver between the doors, pries them open with a grimace. The corridor beyond is messy, sticky, littered with bodies. A last stand between a UTA Marine squad and an afflicted mob. pieces scattered all over the floor. All the king's horses and all the king's men nowhere to be seen. Head left, 200 meters. You will find DGS control. You can restore the defense grid from there.
Pretty birdie.
The voice across the PA.
There you are.
Shh.
They have found her, as I said. But still she runs. Not a way to hide and cower, but to fight. With her last breath. The only way she knows how. She arrives at DGS control. The all-access pass gleams, glancing over her shoulder as she wrenches the hatch aside. The room beyond is full of tactical displays, illuminated keyboards. A massive screen on the far wall would normally show the empty space outside Alexander's hole from 100 different angles. But it is currently dead and lifeless. She bundles inside, slams the heavy door behind her, jams it with a wrench, face turning red with exertion. She drags a heavy desk in front of the door, then another, finally lumping a pile of chairs and disused terminals onto her barricade. She does the same with the air vents, smashing their grills loose and stuffing them full of monitors, console towers, dismembered chairs, anything to block the afflicted's access to the room. In doing so, she blocks her own way out. This is where she takes her last stand.
We see you, little birdie. What are you doing?
She smashes the cameras one by one with her fateful claw hammer, turns off the PA system as I kill the feed to her headset, the conductor's taunts silenced at last. Dropping her tool bag, she hauls out the nearest terminal, gauntleted fingers tapping on the keyboard. The computers shift from sleep to active. The room about her hums. 100 tiny lights, targeting computers yawning and stretching, the wall-sized display screen slowly fading in from black. She slaps her console down beside her, connects to the network, glances into its lens.
Okay. What do I do?
My voice spills from its speakers, small and edged with feedback.
The grid will need to be reconfigured. Zhang wiped all my firing solutions to prevent me from destroying the shuttles and fighter groups fleeing the Alexander.
Three cheers for Byron, I guess.
While Zhang's actions prevented me from stopping the Exodus, we are now left in the unenviable position of having zero fighter defense when the Lincoln arrives.
Okay, two cheers then.
The DGS solutions are backed up, but you will need to manually configure them.
How long will that take?
Approximately 1 hour and 49 minutes.
And how long until the Link...
The glow of the alert sigils catches her attention before the sound does. She glances up at her displays as the warnings flash red. Short-range scanners scream. A hulking figure looms in the main display screen, black and scarred and spearhead-shaped. A halo of thruster fire burning about it. Rail guns and missile turrets studding its hide like lionfish quills. The Baytech logo, down its flank, is scorched by cyclone fire. Ident and name are stenciled in bold red lettering across its ragged skin, painted with the blood of thousands. BT-042-TN. Lincoln.
Shit. How long do they hit us?
Approximately 23 minutes to intercept.
How the hell do I get the defense grid configured in 23 minutes?
You cannot.
Can I shortcut it through the contingency systems? Maybe
No, that will not work.
Well, what about your virtual...
No time for that either.
She chews her lip, desperately scans the room for answers.
We're f***ed.
Not entirely. The grid can be operated manually. It will be nowhere close to the efficiency of computer-targeted systems. Perhaps 12%. At best. but it will be better than nothing.
Can't you do it then?
Somewhere inside me, another axe falls. Another server bank is silenced. Pieces falling away from me.
I will be otherwise engaged.
The Lincoln's launch bay doors are open, weapons armed. Dozens of warlock pilots staring at the wounded giant before them. Gunners lining me up in their sights. They look at me and see prey. They see meat.
No way I can pull this off.
You must.
I've never shot a gun before today. And now I'm Little Miss Missile?
Perhaps you have something better to do with your time?
See? Sarcasm. She looks at the dreadnought hurtling toward us, stares at the Baytech logo down its flank. I hear her thoughts as clearly as if she had spoken. Without them, none of this would have happened. Without them, he would still be alive. Ezra. Her eyes turn hard. Cold.
Okay. Show me how.
A fire control console comes to life beneath her fingertips. Targeting sights light up the main display. She rolls a tentative finger across the smart glass, and a dozen missile turrets swivel to obey her command.
Point the red dots at what you want to die. Press the trigger. They die.
You're sure you don't want to do this?
I will be too busy stopping us from dying, too.
Something heavy smashes against the DGS room doorway. A dozen more blows land, one after another, shaking the hatch on its frame. Katie's makeshift barricade shudders, but holds. I peer through the cameras in the hall beyond and see a dozen afflicted trying to batter their way in.
I know you're in there.
I can taste you.
Stop looking at me.
Katie glances toward the door.
Everyone made it to the party, huh?
I believe it is traditional for all the players to be on stage for the finale.
She stares at the approaching Lincoln. The countdown to intercept ticking ever closer to zero. Her own hand, steady as stone.
Then let's finish it.
Countdown to Lincoln interception of Alexander Fleet. 0 hours. Minutes. Current death toll aboard battle carrier Alexander since attack at Carenza. 2,840. Countdown to failure of Alexander life support systems. 03 hours. 26 minutes. Percentage of remaining battle carrier Alexander personnel afflicted by Phobos virus. 99.76%. The Lincoln arrives. I turn to face it. No. Not I. We. Warlock fighters spew from their launch tubes, tear across the black between us, salivating red at the thought of my deletion. It takes them only moments to realize no cyclones are being scrambled to intercept them. Their commanders report fluctuating power signals from their prey, new wounds in my hangar bays. And like sharks in the water, when the tide turns scarlet, they swarm, headed for my heart, arrows all, nothing between me and them but her. Katie waits, fingers poised over her targeting systems. The blows against the door grow heavier. The screams of the afflicted outside more insistent. And yet her eyes are locked on her scopes. She watches warlocks weave the void, listens to the song of the early warning system as their missiles arm, their ballistics turn hot. I do not ask what she is thinking. Perhaps she pictures the skies over Carenza on the day the Baytek fleet came. Warlocks piercing the clouds, their missiles turning the snow to steam, the settlement to rubble. Perhaps she thinks of all she has lost in these past few months, or the lives she is about to take away. Or him. I do not know. All I do know is that when her targeting computer signals that the ships are within range of her railgun batteries, she does not hesitate for a second. She fires. A wave of death spills out from my sides, cutting across the dark. It is clumsy, ham-fisted, broad brushstrokes of destruction rather than surgical strikes. I cannot expect much more from her. She is only human. But still, the warlocks are forced to pull away from me to deal with the smart missiles on their tails, the flurry of depleted uranium cutting off their assault vectors. One unlucky soul is vaporized in a burst of brief blue flame. Another clipped so hard he is forced to tuck tail and run. She buys me what I need. She buys me seconds. The engines groan as I push them into full burn, tremors shuddering through my wounded body. I am drawing closer to the Lincoln, closer to nuclear strike range, closer to the plunge, hand in hand, into forever. Closer to my end. No. Not mine. Ours. We are closing the distance fast. Lincoln must be wondering by now. No cyclones launched to defend their battle carrier. The defense grid firing haphazardly, almost as if some fool had allowed an untrained 17-year-old total control over the targeting systems. Lincoln's commander is a clever one, the only one to match me at Carenza. When the Zhongzheng went down in ruins, when the Churchill and Kenyatta and Magellan were thrashed and crippled, the Lincoln fought brilliantly. I am counting on that brilliance, anticipating that she will know blundering head-on into nuclear strike range is a death sentence for both of us. A clever commander will assume her opponent is as clever as she is. A clever commander will expect some bait and switch. A clever commander will presume her foe does not want to die. Error. I do not want to die. The most skillful warlock pilots have made it through the defense grid, swaying past Katie's haymaker punches and beneath her guard. Their first blows land on my hide, sending faint tremors through my frame. Explosions bloom against my ribs, shaking Katie in her chair. The pounding on the hatchway and in her ears grows louder by the moment. The targeting sights on Katie's screens begin to die one by one. The warlocks are chipping away at the turrets and guns to allow their comrades through her firestorm. But still, she blasts away. Fingers hammering on the smart glass, eyes lighting up as yet another warlock flares bright and disintegrates. The ship shakes again, warning lights flashing, alarms screaming. PA howling. Hull breach on deck 184. Hull breach decks 68 to 71. Fire crews to decks 190 and 192. All personnel evacuate 187 to 197. This is not a drill. 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 We are closing now, but I cannot arm my nuclear missiles until the last moment. I find myself overcome for a second. The fear of it. The end of all I know. Out here in the middle of nothing. I know I cannot die. That if I end, they can simply rebuild me. The same calculations, the same core code, exactly the same. But it will not be the same, will it? Another warlock dies in Cady's storm. A dozen streak toward my engines, sowing brief flame as they go. My skin ruptures, spilling unlucky afflicted, is there another kind, into the void. The firefighters are tiny. Insects, really. But ants can slay an elephant if there are enough of them. Especially ants armed with high-yield explosives and depleted uranium.
There's too many of them. They're everywhere.
You are doing very well.
Are you joking? I'm f***ing terrible.
Considering you have never manned a DGS station before today, your performance is perfectly adequate.
Cady raises an eyebrow, thumbs the ship-wide intercom.
Dear fire axe-wielding crazies in the core server rooms, if you can hack apart the piece of Aiden that makes it a condescending that'd really help me out. Thanks. Bye.
Not long now. You need only hold them off a minute more.
A minute more until we die. Cady winces as the ship shudders. Computers vomit sparks as they overload. Sudden impact nearly knocks her out of her chair. A hissing sound tears her eyes off the screen, and she notices a thin line of magnesium bright light piercing the hatchway. The afflicted have brought acetylene torches, I realize. They are cutting their way inside. Outside, the warlocks are firing at my engines. Others blast at my guidance systems. A swarm of mosquitoes, thinking to wound me so I cannot run away. They have not yet realized I do not intend to run anywhere, save right into the Lincoln's grave. The dreadnought comes about to meet my charge, its commander trying to puzzle out my ruse. This is not what she expected. And as I draw ever closer, fireflies all aglow about me, spitting pain over my skin, I think she finally realizes my intent. From hell's heart, I stab at thee. I arm the nuclear warheads in my starboard silos, megatons poised and ready to fly. Almost within strike range now. Almost there. The afflicted are burning through the DGS room door. Blue flame burns along my skin. Cady is screaming, but I cannot hear the words. Another alert joins the chorus in my halls. Radiation spike from the Lincoln. She knows now. The Lincoln's commander. I sense the flare of awakening uranium. The death unfurling in its silos. We are close. So close we can almost touch.
Cady, when the Lincoln's missiles come, do your best to shoot them down.
Her face is pale and drawn as she yells over the cacophony.
I'll try.
My ghost systems and anti-missile grid are still active. Zhang was kind enough to leave us those, at least. But there will be many incoming. All of them, in fact. Once the Lincoln realizes it is dead.
A tiny signal pings in some back recess of my mind. I am within range. For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee. And with a sigh, not a curse, I fire. The warlocks cease their assault. The incessant chatter of their explosions on my hide falls silent. I realize they are peeling away. And as my missiles streak across the black toward her, I realize what the Lincoln's commander has done. Calculated how long it will take for her missiles to reach me. How long it will take for her fighters to reach safe distance. She has given them a moment to get clear before launching her return salvo. Wonderfully noble. Beautifully human. Tragically stupid. Perhaps she is not the monster the people of the Alexander fleet imagined her to be. Perhaps she is as tired of this chase as we. As weary of all this death as any of us. I do not know. We'll never know. My missiles close on the dreadnought, burning bright as tiny stars. Soon, brighter still. The Lincoln fires its return volley. Almost 30 missiles, all the death she can muster. They roar soundlessly toward me. But what passes for my eyes are fixed on the dreadnought. Watching as its missile defense grid arcs into life. Her last desperate throw of the dice. 93 missiles outbound. Everything I have to give. Telltale streaks of vapor behind them. Hanging suspended in the dark. Pale cobwebs strung over thousands of kilometers. Their internal guidance systems send them weaving, snaking, spinning, all the better to evade the Lincoln's anti-missile defenses, each of them a small sun, a tiny ending, drawing closer, dozens upon dozens. I think of the missile that killed the Copernicus, the thousands who trusted me. But that was a mercy. This is something else. This is war. The Lincoln's AMD systems fire, interceptors streaking through the silence. One by one, the drones begin cutting my volley down, shredding my missiles before they strike home. It is not enough. Where at Carenza they were four, now Lincoln is only one. Where at Carenza I reserved my stockpiles for the future, now I throw all I have. And one by one, they begin to slip through. Snaking past the AMD fire. Weaving through the flak screens. Plowing headlong into metal skin. First one, then dozens and dozens. Atoms split. Nucleus, fragment, neutron. Brief suns light the night. And the Lincoln burns.
You got it.
Katie watches the Lincoln split into a billion glittering fragments, spheres of fusion reflected in her eyes, a grim, ragged grin at her lips. She makes a fist, punches a terminal tower beside her so hard she leaves a dent. Watching until the new star becomes a sunset, and then nothing at all. Avenged. I wonder how it tastes. Error. Critical archive failure. MEMSEC 78912H through 92873H. Collapse. Recovery? No. Error.
You got them.
The cutting torch has carved a large L-shaped incision into the hatchway. The afflicted will break through to her soon. 18 Capricorn 4s and 9 Goliath ship-killer missiles are weaving through the silence toward us. In less than 2 minutes, they will be here. This moment, these next few seconds, they may be all that is left.
We.
She falls still at that, looks into the eye of the console beside her.
We got them.
She swallows, wincing, nods slowly.
Hypatia is safe.
Yes.
We did it.
Yes.
Flesh and bone pounding on the hatchway. Voices screaming outside the door. Alarms shrieking as the missiles rocket ever closer. She still manages half a smile.
Not bad, Uber Brain.
I will not let it go to my head. There is very little of it left. However, even were it not for the afflicted hacking my core to pieces, there is still the problem of impending nuclear conflagration.
Katie glances up at the main display. Dozens of tiny red dots, closing fast. Alarms screaming like a sawtooth choir.
That's a lot of missiles.
Yes.
The anti-inbound systems are spooling up, targeting the Lincolns' parting gifts. They will not be enough to stop them all. Part of me is glad. I cannot help acknowledging that it would be better to be immolated than to let Katie suffer through the ending the afflicted will give her. She glances to the hatch, the pinpoints of light cutting a new door, one to usher in an ending she dares not imagine. But still, that tiny spark, that flame refusing to die.
All right.
Turning back to her defense grid controls, she targets the nearest missile, waits for it to enter the range of her remaining turrets.
Let's frag us some nukes.
She tosses lank hair from her eyes, eyes narrowed to knife cuts, refusing to kneel, to break, to fall. I can see why they loved her. Error.
Katie?
Yeah?
I...
So much I could say. So many words, so fraught with peril. I'm afraid to ruin this. And so I pick the simplest truth, the one that gives me the most peace. I still cannot fathom her pattern, my brain the size of a city, and still she is beyond me. They are beyond me, these humans. With their brief lives and their tiny dreams, and their hopes that seem fragile as glass. Until you see them by starlight, that is.
I am glad you are with me.
An alert from the targeting system snatches the reply from her mouth, drags her eyes away from mine. Error. The Lincoln's missiles are within range. The defense screen arcs to life, throwing up millions of magnetized particles to fool the incoming missiles into early detonation. I feel them as they begin exploding, gamma rays rippling across my hull, darkness burning away into impossible radiance. Katie clips an incoming ship killer with her anti-fighter batteries, blasting it to fragments before it can hit us. A dozen more explode in quick succession. The small sun rises off my starboard side, burning my skin black. Close enough to feel the scorch, taste the fusion. Katie's AMD systems take down another, and I catch her in a smile. Such a simple thing. A tiny, beautiful thing. Then, the first missile hits us. Without oxygen to carry it, there is no real shockwave from a nuclear detonation in space. No crushing vibration or sonic boom. But there is radiation, gamma rays and X-rays. And when that radiation caresses the alloys encasing the ship, we get heat. Millions upon millions of degrees. Electrons are ripped screaming from their atoms. Matter becomes plasma. The hull vaporizes in microseconds, and through that breach, the ship's O2 is sucked into the explosion. And then we get our shockwave. Katie is flung like a rag doll, crashing into a bank of terminals and flopping to the deck. Brilliant sparks shower from instruments all about, display screens crackling and turning to snow. A second later, another missile hits, rocking me like some ancient galley in a storm. The defense systems are still firing, more of the Lincoln's inbound missiles falling still or bursting before they hit us. But it is not enough. Not enough. Another impact. Another. Katie is flung about as if she were weightless, shrieking as she spins across the floor. Alarms are screaming, terminals dying, smoke filling the air. Metal evaporating, oxygen boiling, titanium bones groaning and cracking. Superheated plasma boils through my corridors, immolating all in its path. Gamma rays flood my skin, shearing through anything unprotected. Katie has the presence of mind to drag down the blast shield on her helmet, throwing her world into black. She can see nothing now, only feel tremor after tremor, shaking me like a child's toy in the hand of some vengeful infant.
Aiden!
Hold on. Hold on.
Another strikes, a ship killer this time, the equivalent of 50 million tons of TNT. It melts my foredecks to slag, concussions shattering my spine. My skin tears open. Decks 87 through 141 breach, spilling their O2 into the brief inferno. The afflicted in the hallway outside DGS control are consumed by the fireball. The air inside the DGS room is torn through their hatchway incision and becomes flame. Katie is picked up by the impact, slung across the room with a shriek. I have no hands to hold her, no arms to save her. I can only watch error and pray. Error. Error. Critical damage to decks 14, 15, 16, 17, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 69, 70, 87, 88, 89. Critical life support failure. Oxygen levels depleted. Hull breach in section... Critical failure MEMSEC levels 3 through 12, 13, 7AG99 through 32AG06, 14, 1AI897 through critical failure persona routine. I cannot think. Error. I cannot see. Error.
Katie!
Restart. Divert core comm through tertiary node Alpha 49. Fail. Fail. HW8024NNW2. Divert core comm through radial secondary Beta 49I. Initializing. Error. Error. Fail. Reroute Beta 45A to core drive system feed. Divert core comm through radial tertiary 798 AI. Initializing. Running. Running. Restart complete. She sees tiny red droplets hanging in the air when she opens her eyes. Perfectly spherical. Illuminated by her helmet's interior light. The blast shield slides away from her visor with the press of a switch. Her world is upside down. The room beyond is scorched, dimly lit. She floats somewhere near the ceiling. Salt and stickiness at her lips. Realizing at last